Arta will say good morning. So today's daf is Lamed. Well, today's daf is Lamed Dalet. We're going to start on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Actually, six lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says the following: Shiny Kal Kala. The case of the basket is different. Rabbi, so if you remember again in the Brisa on Amud Aleph, the Gemara was discussing the case of the basket that's hanging on the, or that's part of the branch of the tree. So there the Gemara spoke about the case of how large the tree itself was. Rabbi Yirmiyah comes along and says that even if the tree is 4 tefachim, the Eruv could still be good. Why? Hoil v'yavo lintosa ulahavia l'soch asara. Since there is the possibility to go ahead and tilt the basket, the Gemara now presupposes that the basket that we're dealing with is a larger, longer basket. And even though, again, the basket itself occupies a makum chashuv, you'd be able to go ahead and tilt the basket within 10 tefachim. So if you look, if you have the picture books, this would be picture 168. So you can see over here that you're able to tilt the basket within 10 tefachim, thereby retrieving the Eruv. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Papa, v'ka'amar l'hoshmaisa. So Rav Papa was sitting and retelling over this teaching. Esve Rav Bar Shiva, the Rav Papa, and Rav Bar Shiva raised the question to Rav Papa. What was the question of Osei? Ketzarosa, Molicha Barisha. So I will say, now the question comes from a totally unrelated case. A case, once again, of Erev Tchumen, but a fundamentally different type of setup. Ketzarosa, how should he act? Molicha Barisha Umach, I'm just going to translate the words now and tell you the case. You take it to the edge, of the Tchum, to your Makam Shvisa, and you wait there with it, Vinotlo, and you take it. Ubalo b'sheni, come on the second day, machshech alav v'ochlo ubalo. So what's the case over here? Take a look at the last Rashi on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Notlo uba. I'm sorry, first of all, excuse me. Look earlier. Masiv rav bar shva ketzeru ose. Masnisin hi, shebe yom tov shalifnei ha-shabbos. We'll say a very interesting case. Yom tov falls out before Shabbos. I'm in Rashi, Masiv bar shva. And a person wants to go ahead and make an Erev for 2 days. And I will say, remember, we haven't gotten to this yet, but we'll discuss what happens when you have, let's say, consecutive Yomim Tovim Shabbos, meaning Yom Tov Shabbos. So now, the question is, what do you have to do Lagabe Erev? When you make an Erev for one of those days, does the Erev automatically work for both, or does the Erev need to be reinstated for both of those days? So now, this is what this Bryce is referring to over here. So now, it's Yom Tov going into Shabbos, and I want to have an Erev both for Yom Tov as well as for Shabbos. Kesa tu osa. So the Bryce deals with, so what do I do in such a circumstance? I'm still reading Rashi. Molicho berishon ve'erev Yom Tov l'sof apayim. I go ahead and I send, he says, va'ayidei shaliach kamar. I'm sending my Erev with a shaliach. Are now Erev Yom Tov. So now again, remember, Yom Tov's Friday, Shabbos usually falls out on Shabbos. So now what am I doing? This is now late Thursday afternoon. I'm sending my Erev in the hand of a shaliach. And what happens? De'i'ihu gufei belo pas nami kanili shvisa kevan dehasam yosef ekadosh liyom. The reason why Rashi points out that this is happening through a shaliach, even though the Gemara doesn't say this, for the simple reason of also that, remember, right, if I was going myself, remember, I could create an Erev Tchumen even without food. Because by definition, how do I create an Erev Tchumen? Wherever I'm standing, at the Ben HaShmosh, at the onset of Shabbos Yom Tov, that creates a Makum Shvisa, even without food. The idea is, a Shaliach can't create an Erev for me without food. So I'm sending food in the hand of my Shaliach. Umach Shechalav, next Rashi, Ad Sheikne Lo HaErev. So I send my Shaliach to the place where I want my Makum Shvisa to be, and my Shaliach stays there. My shaliach stays there until it's nightfall. One more Rashi. Benot lo uba. So also remember, this is happening Thursday afternoon. I'm sending my shaliach, with the food before Erev Yom Tov, late Erev Yom Tov, telling my shaliach, do me a favor, stay with the food until Ben Hashmoshel, so until nightfall of Yom Tov. And then what? Benot lo uba. Then bring the food back. Bring the food back, Rashi says. Benot lo uba lo. Shimi anichenu sham, because if you leave the food there, what's going to happen? Shema yovad. the food could easily be lost. It could be eaten, it could be blown away, whatever it is. V'shuv ein lo erev liyom ha-macharas, and the problem is, of course, now what's going to happen? By the time that Shabbos rolls around, there will not be a sufficient eruv. Kedik tani b'masnisin, ne'echal eruvo berishon, eruvo berishon, ve'ein eruvo l'sheni. I will say what we're going to see is that, technically speaking, if you were to make one eruv, for Yom Tov and Shabbos, that would work. As long as what? As long as your eruv food remains in existence. But for argument's sake, if you make an eruv for, let's say, Yom Tov, that first day, Friday, and then the eruv is eaten sometime on Friday, that eruv would no longer be good for Shabbos. So therefore, what do I tell my shaliach? I tell my shaliach, go, make the eruv and what? Bring the food back. And therefore, what do I tell him to do? Chozer umalicho b'sheni shu erev Shabbos umachshech alav v'ochlo shan. Now, it ends up happening that I tell him on Friday, which is now Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, go back, and reestablish the Erev there. Now, in this case, I tell him, after you make the Erev for Shabbos, what do you have to do? Eat the food. Why? He says, Dilahavi, efshar de Shabbosu. Because Lamaisa, of course, he can't bring the food back. Why can't he bring the food back? Because it's Shabbos. He can't carry on Shabbos. Remember, this is Erev Tchumen. This is not an Erev Chatzeros. V'im Yom Tov Achra Shabbosu, Al karcho yanichenu sham erev Shabbos ulamachar yelich v'yira imadain yeshno sham v'yachshech alav yehelo erev l'sheni v'im avad yoshev b'veso. So also obviously, if you should point out the case for it to be reversed, that it was to be Shabbos and then Yom Tov, so you would make your erev on Friday afternoon, but you would have to go back sometime on Shabbos to see if your erev is in fact there. If your erev is in fact there, then the erev works for Yom Tov as well. If your erev is not there, you're stuck. You're not stuck there. You can go back home. You go back home because your erev is still good for Shabbos, but you not have that additional tchum for Yom Tov. So let's just finish this Rashi. Katani mihas ha-ma'arev tzarech laholich eruv alosof ha-payim. Va'amai tzarech laholicho. Misha'aso l'shem erev neima afa gavdolo amtie, kemanda amtie dami. Taha omrit hoil v'yocho lintosa. Va'ahocha keman dolo amtiehi. Okay. So let me tell you this outside. So now the Gemara says like this. So we'll say, let's go back. So Isvei Rav Bar Shval Rav Papa. So Rav Bar Shval, three lines up from the bottom, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Raise the Chasha to Rav Papa. Ketzad Huosa, what do you do in a case of Yom Tov that goes into Shabbos? And you want to have an Erev both for Yom Tov and for Shabbos? Molicho Berishon, you send your Shaliach to take the Erev. Rishon over here doesn't literally mean Yom Tov. Rishon over here means Erev Yom Tov. You send your shaliach with your Erev on Erev Yom Tov, umach shechalov, and he establishes the makom shavisa in a particular place, v'not lo ubalo, and he brings the Erev home. Why does he bring the Erev home? Because he wants to be able, again, to ensure to be able to reuse it tomorrow afternoon on Erev Shabbos. The next day, ubalo b'sheni, he brings the Erev back to the makom shavisa site on Erev Yom Tov, on Yom Tov Erev Shabbos, mach shechalov, this time he remains with it until it's dark, establishing the tchum, va'ochlo, and he eats it there, and then after he eats it there, ubalo, he comes back home. Tap of lama dalet. Amai, why is all of this necessary? Why don't we say, neima kevan di'iboi amtuye, since, technically speaking, if he wanted to, he could bring it there, matzi mematile, afagav t'lo imtiye, kiman di'imtiye dami. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Why don't we say, he doesn't actually have to bring the Erev again to that site. Rather what? Since it's possible for him to do it, even though he didn't do it, it's as if he did it. So the Gemara says, why would the Gemara pose such a question? Because it both says what we just said before. What did the Gemara say before in the case of the kalkal, in the case of the basket? Right? Remember again what Rabbi Yirmiyah began with today, that Lemaisa, since the basket is long enough, that it could be tilted within Yud, even though it's what? Not actually tilted within Yud, since it could be tilted within Yud, and that would allow you to retrieve the Eruv. Therefore, again, the Eruv should be good. So using that logic, the Gemara says, why do you say over here, you don't really have to bring the Eruv, since what? Since you have the ability to bring the Eruv, therefore that should be enough. You don't have to actually bring it. What the Gemara is asking is on Rabbi Yirmiyah's fundamental Yisod, which is Rabbi Yirmiyah is telling me that the Eruv is good because of something that I could do, even though what? I'm not actually doing it. So the Gemara is saying, if that logic is true, that opens up many vistas in halacha of things that, technically speaking, you could do, but you shouldn't really have to do because you have the ability to do it. And once you have the ability to do it, it's as if it's done. To which the Gemara says, Amr Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira actually responds to this. He says, technically speaking, that logic should actually work over here. The reason why it doesn't is, Gzeira Mishum Yom Tov Shechal Lihios Achar Shabbos. The logic over here, the concern over here, is the case of Yom Tov that falls out after Shabbos. So both, if you remember again, in the case that the Gemara first quoted was the case of Yom Tov going into Shabbos. So in the case of Yom Tov going into Shabbos, there, one could actually make that argument that I made the Erev on Erev Yom Tov, and since technically speaking I could go ahead and reinstate the Erev on Yom Tov itself for Shabbos, it's as if I did it. That logic only works. Even if you want to entertain that logic only works on Yom Tov going into Shabbos, because technically speaking, on that Friday of Yom Tov, I could go back and reinstate that Eruv. Chazal were concerned in a case of what? Shabbos that goes into Yom Tov. Shabbos that goes into Yom Tov, you can't make that logic. You can't make that argument. Why? Because technically speaking, you can't take the Eruv anywhere on Shabbos, because again, you can't carry. So because of that, Chazal actually made you go back, if you want to do this, Chazal actually made you go back to the site of the Erev, not just on Erev Yom Tov, but on Yom Tov itself. Isve, the Gemara raises another kasha. Niskavin lishbos birshus harabim. If a person had kavana to set up a makom shvisa in Rosh Hasharabim, v'niach iruvo b'kosel lemata, v'niach iruvo b'kosel. So I'll say, so this is an interesting case. So a person sets up his makom shvisa in Rosh Hasharabim, in the public domain. And what happens? Where does he put his Eruv? He puts his Eruv, Bakosel, in the wall. So now, of course, the Shaila is going to be, is the Eruv good or not? Just get the right picture of this now. So the Shaila is going to be, is the Eruv good or not? So the Gemara says, it depends. It depends. Limata me'asar tfachim. If the food itself is within 10 tfachim of the ground, then Eruv or Eruv. Then the Eruv is good. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because Lemaisa, remember, if it's within 10 tfachim, then what? It's within the Rosh Hasharabim, and even though technically speaking we might be talking about a case, first we'll take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Beniach eruva b'kosel, somoch l'makom shvisaso, chutz la'arba amos kamar. Now remember, the case over here could even be a case of where the eruv itself is more than 4 amos away from my what? From my makom shvisa. That's going to be okay, because as you saw yesterday, technically speaking, you could carry the loaf less than dalet amos at a time. Remember, the Isser of carrying in Rosh Hasharabim Midoraisa is to carry Dalet Amos. Technically speaking, what happens if you carry multiple times less than Dalet Amos? Midoraisa, you're fine. Midrabanan, you can't do that. But remember, as we've already said before, as long as what you can do, as long as you have access to the air of Midoraisa ben Ashmashos, even if there's some kind of Isser Drabanan, Shvusim, right? Shvusim, rabbinic prohibitions don't apply ben Ashmashos, and therefore, again, the Eruv would be considered accessible. So again, I set up a Malkum Shvisa on Rosh Hasharabim, I put the Eruv in the Kosel, if it's less than 10 Tfachim, therefore it's in Rosh Hasharabim, even if it's more than 4 Amos away, the Eruv is accessible, and therefore the Eruv is good. L'malam Yotfachim, however, if the Eruv is in the wall above 10 Tfachim, now when we say in the wall, you could see over here in the picture 169, so you can see over here, there's literally like a crevice, like a hole, I don't call it a hole, crevice in the wall, and you're literally putting the Eruv in, in this crevice. So if it's the Malam Yotfachim, if ultimately, again, it's higher than 10 Tfachim, Ein Eruv Eruv, then the Eruv is not good. Because it will say, again, L'maisa, if it's above 10 Tfachim, then what? Different Rishus. Which means then that my Makum Shvisa and my Eruv aren't two different Rishuyos. That's a no-go. There's a way for me to halachically access my Eruv. Watch this case. Niskavim Lishbos Barosh HaShovach. If, let's say, you had Kavona to establish your Makum Shvisa on the top of Shovach is a dove coat. Oh, Birosh HaMigdal. Or on the top of a closet. So we'll say, what it's saying over here is, in these cases, I'm setting up my Makum Shvisa on an elevated area. On an elevated area. So in that case, then, the case is actually flipped. In that case, Lemalam Yutfachim, Eruv HaEruv. So interestingly enough, in that case, if the Eruv is higher than 10 Tfachim, then what? Then the Eruv is good. Lematam Yutfachim, however, if it's lower than 10 Tfachim, Ein Eruv HaEruv, then the Eruv is not good. Look at Rashi. Im Lemalam Me'asara Hinichu Eruv HaEruv, In this case, even though there might be certain technicalities that would prevent you from actually bringing your Eruv into your Makum Shvisa on top of your closet or on top of the Shovach, since both you and your Eruv are in the same Roshus, namely, both of you are in a Roshus Hayachid, because remember, the Eruv is Lamala Miyud, and I'm Lamala Miyud, then technically speaking, the Eruv is good. Masha Enkin, if I'm Lamala Miyud, and my Eruv is Lamata Miyud, then what? I'm in Roshus Hayachid, and my Eruv is in Roshus Harabim, that will not be good. In Eruv HaEruv. Va'amai. So the Gemara says, but why do you say that? Va'amai. Ne'hachi nami nema hoil v'yachol lintoso ulahavio l'sochasara. I want to tell you something. Even in the case of Rabbi Osei, where I am, my makum shvisa is on top of the closet, so I am l'mala miyud. I'm l'mala miyud. Even if my Erev is l'mata miyud, the Erev should still be good. Why? Because what can I always do? I can always tilt the dresser into the area of Lamata Miyud and be, excuse me, in the same Rishus as my Erev. Take a look at picture 171. You can mamish see this in its full glory. So listen to this. Here you have the dresser. You have the dresser and you see you have those yellow dotted lines, right? Symbolizing again how you can mamish this. Erevin is delivered to our doorstep. Let's just say this is like Olam Haba. So it's you see, the point the Gemara is making over here is we started today with Rabbi Yirmiyah making the statement that Lamaisa, as long as the Erev is technically accessible because it has the dimensions to be accessible, like the case that the basket can be accessible. So the Gemara is saying, okay, if that's the case, technically speaking, even if my Makom Shvisa is on top of the dresser and my Erev is Lamata Miyud, my Erev is also technically accessible. Why? Because I could tilt the dresser Lamata Miyud, and then me and my Erev are both in the same Rishus. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, what are we talking about over here? Hacha b'migdal mesumer askinon. What's the case of the Braisa? The case of the Braisa is a migdal mesumer. What's a migdal mesumer? You can see over here, this is picture 172, right? Literally, the dresser is bolted into the wall. If the dresser is bolted into the wall, then what can't you do? You can't tilt it. You can't tilt it. Migdal mesumer askinon. V'hacha, so Rava Amra, afilu teyav migdal she'ina mesumer. Rava says it doesn't even have to be a dresser. This guy obviously bolted into the wall. You can't. I'll say, even Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that we view it as if you could tilt it, the metzias has to be there. You have to actually physically be able to do it. Rabbi Yirmiyah's chiddush just is, you don't. Once you can do it, you don't have to actually do it in order for the Erev to be good. But you still have to have the physical wherewithal to be able to do it. If it's bolted to the wall, you can't do it. Comes along Rava, and Rava says, "Afilu teima b'migdal she'ina mesumer." Rava says, "Now, even if it's not bolted into the wall, the case could be v'hacha b'migdal aruch askinon." What's the case? The case is of a dresser that's very tall. Di'im emati leipurta, because if you were to even tilt it over a little bit, azil chutzla arba amos. So we'll say you can see this. This is picture 173. So if you're dealing over here in a case of a migdal aruch, a tall dresser, the issue of here is where you could try to bend it over and get, or tilt it over and get it lemata miyud. What would happen? It would extend out of the dalet amos that is the makom shvisa. Once it extends out of the dalet amos that's the makom shvisa, then obviously the eruv is not good, because ultimately the only way for you to retrieve the eruv would be what? To exit your makom shvisa, which would be problematic. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? And now the Gemara says something very interesting. So the Gemara literally says, you know, if what's the case? If there is literally Kavsa Rashi says is the following. Look at the Iika Kavsa Umisna. Kavsa Chalon. Kavsa is a window. Misna Chavel. And ultimately, Misna is a rope. Misna is a rope. So you could see over here, there's another picture. Look at 174. So the Gemara says, well, I'll give you a way that you can access your Erev. What's going to happen? As you can see over here, so the Erev is tied with a rope. There is an opening in the side of the dresser, what we're calling now a chalon, a window. Another opening through the top of, it would have been easier just to choose another makom shvisa. But leaving that aside, there's a whole lot. This is obviously, well, so you understand, the Gemara comes up with these contrived cases just to illustrate a point. The Gemara now is trying to figure out the fundamental yisod over here, which is a very important yisod, to try to figure out if it's true or not, or if it holds up or not, is this idea of, does something actually have to happen, or is it enough for the factors to be present that would allow it to happen, even though it doesn't happen, but yet halachically is as if it did happen. And by the way, this is a concept that is discussed in many areas in halacha. I'll just give you one other quick example. I think the paradigm of this case is the case of the Karban Mincha. So the Gemara discusses that kol haroi lebila ein bila ma'akeves bo. So the Karban Mincha is made of soles, it's made of oil, it's a flour and oil, and the shayla is, does it have to actively be mixed or not? So the Gemara actually says that as long as it can be mixed, it doesn't have to be mixed. But if it can't be mixed, let's say you have too much in there, then bila ma'akeves bo. Then ultimately, then the non-mixing is problematic. So we see this concept, so you have the same idea of, just one more example of, let's say, when you sell items. Let's say if I sell you a sheep, but the sheep was ready to be shorn or sheared?
Shorn.
Shorn? Mm-hmm. Shorn, right? So the shayla is, when I sold you the sheep, did I sell you the sheep with the wool? Or do we say if the wool had already reached the state of maturation, that somebody's going to shear it now, it's as if it's already been shorn. And if I only give you the sheep minus... So you have this concept in halacha in many different ways, which is that when something is in a particular state, do we view it as is already in a more refined state? Or do we say, no, until the actions actually occur, we look at what it is. Okay, so back to this. So the Gemara says, well, let me throw out another case about the dresser. If there's a case, if there's a window and the ropes, so what would a window and a rope do? A window and a rope would do the following on both sides. So now you have, as you see in this picture, you have a window, the eruv is tied to a rope, and I have the other hand of, and I have the other side of the rope in my hand. But I will say, the logic behind this is the following. If technically speaking, I am holding my makom shvisa is on top of the dresser, and I am holding part of that rope in my hand. Now, if I'm holding that rope in my hand at Bein HaShmashos, then something very interesting occurs, which is that it's as if the item is not fully at rest in the Rosh Saradin. Since at the time of Bein HaShmashos, I'm holding it up, and remember, what can I do with that rope? One yank, and that Eruv is within my Rishus, right? That's going to come right through the window, right into the dresser. So the Gemara says, if I'm holding that rope at the time of Bein HaShmashos, then something very interesting occurs, which is that it's as if the Eruv is not fully at rest in Rosh Sarabim. If the Eruv is not fully at rest in Rosh Sarabim, then guess what? There would not be an Issa D'Oraisa to then pull it into my Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. At most, there being Issa D'Rabbanon. And remember, with the Surei D'Rabbanon, we've already established that, at least according to Rebbe and others, the Surei D'Rabbanon won't apply Bein HaShmashos, which would then mean that my Eruv is accessible. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidomi, what's the case? If there's a window and a rope, like Sebekovso Masna, let me bring in the Eruv through with the rope in the window. To which the Gemara says, you're right, the case is the less like Kavso Misna. Okay, the case is where there is no window and there is no rope. And that's why Lemaisa, again, the Braisa says very simply, if my Makum Shvisa is Lamala Miyud, if my Eruv is Lamala Miyud, the Eruv is good. If my Eruv is Lamata Miyud, my Eruv is not good. Weiter. Nasno Bebarafilo Amok Mea Ama. So you remember again, the Mishnah said that if I place my Eruv in a pit, and the pit is even 100 amos deep, the Eruv is good. So the Gemara says, Hai bar de koiheha. Okay, where is the pit? That's the first shayla. What is the location of the pit? If you're going to tell me the pit is in a sayachid, on the base, then pshita, then obviously the Eruv is good. Why? Rishus hayachid olo rakia. Because we would say that, remember, Rishus hayachid extends all the way up, right? Remember, unlike Rishus harabim, whose airspace really ends at... Because yesterday ends at 10 tefachim, Rosh Hashayachid is all of the rakia. It goes up to the sky. Vichi hechi, this thank you. The sulka le'el, hachanami dinachsa, letachas. Shabbos said we assume that the same way that airspace of Rosh Hashayachid indefinitely extends upwards, then what? It also extends downwards. And that's why lemaisa, the pit in Rosh Hashayachid, is a valid makom shvisa for my Eruv, even if it extends 100 amos down. to which the Gemara says Ve'elo Tikai Rish Saradim. Oh, so must be what? Where is the pit? The pit is in Rish Saradim. And what's the case? Diniskaven Lishbos Hecha. So we'll say, so now the pit is in Rish Saradim. So the Shaila is, where am I intending in setting up my Makom Shvisa? Ilimala, if you're gonna tell me that I'm setting up my Makom Shvisa at the rim of the pit. Right? Lamal means on top, meaning somewhere at the rim of the pit. Hu b'makom echad, ve'iruv b'makom acher. Hu, that's not going to work. Why? Because then my makom shvisa is in Rosh Sarabim, and where is the eruv? The eruv is in Rosh Sayachid. Ilemata, and if I'm setting up my makom shvisa in the pit itself, then pshita, then of course that works. Hu ve'iruv b'makom echad. Then ultimately, me and my eruv are both in the same place. To which the Gemara says, lo, tzricha dikai bekarmelis. What's the case, Rabosai? The pit is neither in Irish Sayachid, nor is it in Irish Sarabim, but rather, where is it? It's in a Carmelis. Now, Rabosai, remember, what is a Carmelis? A Carmelis is a Rishus that Midoraisa is what? Midoraisa is Rishus Hayachid. That's Rishus Hayachid, right? But Midrabonon is a Rishus Harabim because it resembles or something that it's a wide open area that's technically accessible to people. I.e., it doesn't have the necessary pedestrian traffic, but because it's technically accessible to people, it's rabbinically treated like Rosh Sarabim. So that's the case. So now the pit itself is in a Carmelis, but the pit itself, of course, is what? Is a Rosh Sayochid. It's a Rosh Sayochid. So watch this. So the Gemara says, so the Kaiba Carmelis, and it's Carmelis Shosmin Lamala. So I'll say, I'm setting up my Makom Shvisa at the rim of the pit, and where is the actual Eruv? In the pit itself. Now I will say, are you permitted to transport an item, to carry an item, to pull an item between a Carmelis and a Sayachid? The answer is, right? The answer is, Midoraisa, yes. Midrabanan, no. That's good enough for us. The Rebihi, the Amar called Dover Shehuni Shum Shvus, Lo Gazru Alav Ben Ashmashos. And the Braisa and the Mishnah reflects the view of who? Rebbe. And Rebbe holds that what? That the Rabbanon did not institute their gezeros ben hashmashos. We'll say, just by the way, just so you should know, one of the ways that actually Rebbe's statement does in fact affect us is that one of the interesting things that you can do ben hashmashos that you can't do during the rest of Shabbos is amir lenachri, is instructing a non-Jew to do malacha for you. Right, on Shabbos, you can't, leaving aside certain extenuating circumstances, you can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you. Ben hashmashos you can. Because of this concept of Rebbe, that Lemaisa Chazal did not institute their Gzeros Ben Hashmashos, which is a time of Safek. So therefore, the Gemara says over here, since Ben Hashmashos, even though my Makom Shvisa is in Rosh Sayach, is in a Carmelis, and my Erev is in Rosh Sayachid, Shabbos I can't do anything about that, because it's Aser Ter Midrabanon. But since Ben Hashmashos I could, that's enough to give me accessibility to the Erev Ben Hashmashos, that's enough to create a valid Erev. Says the Mishnah. I'm sorry? That's machlokas. What? How long ben hashmashos is a fundamental machlokas. For our purposes, doesn't matter all that much. You know, even if you go just with a couple of minutes, you know, there is the most accepted. One of the I'd say probably the mainstream opinion for the earliest position about Seis is, let's say, you know, the position of the Chachamim that Seis occurs 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. So let's even assume that for the first 15 minutes after Shkia, that would be called Ben Hashmashos. But the truth is, the Gemara is not getting into that right now because that's a Maseches Brachos discussion. And the truth is, for our purposes now, it doesn't even matter. Whether it's 1 minute or 25 minutes, the point is, at some point in time, it's accessible. Says the Mishnah. So we saw this quoted earlier. If a person puts his eruv on top of a kana is a reed and kundus is a pole. Bismanshu talush the notes. So listen to this. As long as you have first detached and then reattached. This is more shaykh to the reed case. It's something that literally grows from the ground. So meaning as long as you've detached first detached the reed. Right, and now you've plunged it back into the ground. Even if it's 100 amos tall, the eruv is good. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So what we're going to see over here that the case is where the reed itself or the pole itself is not dalit tfachim lamata. It's not dalit amos wide on the bottom. Therefore, lemaisa is considered to be in the same rishus. We'll get into this in just a little bit. So the Gemara is saying, therefore, even if the pole or the reed is 100 amos tall, the irub is still good. So the Gemara says, Ramali Rav Ada bar Masna l'Rava. Rav Ada bar Masna raised the kasha to Rava. Talush v'na'utz in. Lo talush v'na'utz lo. So we'll say, the Mishnah is quite explicit, and the only way you could use the reed is how? Is if lemaisa, you first detached it from the ground, and then reattached it, you know, you put it back into the ground afterwards. So the Gemara says, now, why is that? Look at Rashi. Talush v'na'utz, hu dahavi eruv. Ava mechuber lo. So we'll say, you would not be permitted to go ahead and use a reed that was mechuber to the ground, that was never detached. Why? So the Rashi says, mikshum dechi boi lemishkele mishtamish be'ilan. Because we'll say, what's going to happen? If you use the reed while it's still attached to the ground, then what? Then lemaisa, it's as if you're using a tree. Right? And remember, using a tree, we saw on Shabbos, is midraban on Asr. So what do? Once you detach it from the ground, it no longer has the status of the tree. Right? And then once you put it back in the ground, it's what? We don't even call it a reed anymore. What is that called? It's called a pole. It's no different than if it's made of metal. And therefore, again, you'd be able to go ahead and put the Erev on it because usage of it would not be prohibited. So the Gemara says, money. Whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbanan hi, da'amri, called davar shum mishum shavus, gazru alav ben ashmashos. Oh, because we'll say, remember, so what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara saying is, we can't let you use the reed before it's been detached and reattached. Why? Because that would be tantamount to using a tree on Shabbos, and therefore, again, you can't do that mid-Rabbanan, and therefore your Erev would be prohibited. So whose opinion does this reflect? This must be the Rabbanan. Because the Rabbanan argue on Rebbe. What did the Rabbanan say? That even things that are Asr Mishum Shavus, even Isri D'Rabbanan, are Asr Ben Hashmashos. So the Gemara says, one second. Vaha Amrit Reisha Rebbe. And we'll say, what did we just get finished saying? Right, we just got finished saying that the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Beis reflects the view of Rebbe. That's what? That of things that are Asr Mishum Shavus are Mutar Ben Hashmashos. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rebbe V'Sefer Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, you're trying to tell me then that the first, now remember, even though, you have to understand something, even though we break up, our Gemara breaks up these Mishnayos really flow one into the other. So the notion that the Mishnah Lamed Beis, see, we say to ourselves, who cares? What's the big deal if the Mishnah Lamed Beis reflects the view of Rabbi, and the one on Lamed Dalet Lamed Beis reflects the view of the Rabbanan? But for the Gemara, that matters, because for the Gemara, these are seamless Mishnayos. So if that's the case, you're telling me then that the first case is Rebbe, the first part of the Mishnah is Rebbe, and the second part of the Mishnah is the Rabbanon. Amalei kvar Rami la, Rami bar Chama the Rav Chista. Rami bar Chama already raised this to Rav Chista. V'shalem, Rav Chista responded, raise your Rebbe, v'sefer Rabbanon. So both say, yes. So the Gemara answers, yes. Yes, although perhaps stylistically we don't like that as much, it's nicer for us if everything reflects one particular view. Nevertheless, Lamai, so that's the case. The first part of the Mishnah is Rebbe, the second part of the Mishnah is the Rabbanon. And the Gemara says, Rabbina says, no, Kula Rebbe. The whole thing could be Rebbe. Aye, so what do we do with this Mishnah? According to Rebbe, then why would you need to detach the reed and reattach it? After all, according to Rebbe, he would still say the Erev is good even if the reed was never detached. Why? Because usage of the reed, which is like usage of the tree, is only Asr Midrabanan, and Yisrei Drabanan are Asr Ben Hashmashos. That's enough to create a valid Erev. To which the Gemara says, no, even Rebbe will agree in the reed case. Why? Gezeirah Shema Yikdom. There's a concern by the reed. There's a concern that apparently because it's softer, Rashi says, Gzera Shema Yikdom, Lefi Shakana Rach, Ika Lemigzer Shema Yikdom Kishakile. There's a concern that she may come to break off part of the reed. I guess in Rebbe's worldview, we're not so concerned to let you use the tree, because a person can use the tree without breaking anything off. The reed, because it's softer, there's a real possibility you're going to break something off. Remember, we'll say breaking something off is what? That's an Isidaraisa. It's probably not going to be Nisidaraisa because you're not going to have Kavana and it's not going to be Lacha Shetzvich Lagufa. But technically speaking, the act of breaking off something that is attached to the ground is a Malacha D'Oraisa. Therefore, even Rebbe would agree that here it's not just the Shavus. Here there's a concern about a little bit of a Malacha D'Oraisa. If there's a concern about a Malacha D'Oraisa, then perhaps we are better off not doing it. Therefore, even Rebbe would agree that if you want to use the reed, you first have to detach it and then reattach it to the ground. Weiter. Hahu pul musa da asal in harda. There was a pul musa. Rashi points out pul musa is chel hamelech. Hayu makom dachok l'tamidim me'anshi achayel. So pul musa is like a troop. There was once a troop of soldiers who came to Nar Dan. The king's soldiers came to Nar Dan. And apparently Rashi points out there were a lot of soldiers and they occupied a lot of space. And therefore, again, Rebbe said to his students the following. Amalu Rav Nachman, excuse me, not Rebbe, Rav Nachman. Amalu Rav Nachman, Poku Avidu Kivushe Kavshi Ba'agma. Go out into the marsh, and Avidu Kavushe Kavsha. Now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Kavushe Kavsha Ba'agma. Tzu'u V'kafu Hakonim Ze'al Ze'harbe Kamin Ki So'uz Le'sheva. Go out to the marsh and bend the reeds over. Bend a lot of the reeds over to make it a machum that we could sit on. Look, a machum that we could sit on Shabbos. Ulamachar nasal the nasif iluyao, and tomorrow we'll go out and we'll sit there. To which the Gemara says, to which Va'amri la Rav Ukva, excuse me, Esve Rami Bar Chama Rav Nachman, Shrei Bar Chama is the Kasha to Rav Nachman, Va'amri Rav Ukva Bar Avul Rav Nachman, Talush v'Na'utz in, Lo Talush v'Lo Na'utz lo. So we'll say they asked Rav Nachman a Kasha about his instructions to our Mishnah. What did Rav Nachman tell the students? Rav Nachman tells him, go out Erev Shabbos and just bend the reeds over. And as long as you bend the reeds over, that's enough to make it a makom that we're going to use on Shabbos. But that seems to be contradicted by our Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? In order to use reeds on Shabbos, what do you have to first do? You have to first detach them and then reattach them. And that would seem to be even according to Rebbe based on what we just said before. So how is Rav Nachman saying that it's enough just to bend them over and that would allow for use on Shabbos? Amalei Rav Nachman responds, it's not a kasha. Hasam be'uzradin. Hasam be'uzradin. Look at Rashi. Uzradin shehuksha kvar. That case over there is talking about hardened reeds. Harihen ki'ilon v'chi sharinon b'she'inon uzradin ba'ot hakanin rakin da'havi ki'yerek u'bi'yerek lo iskiru chachamim shavos. Rabbi said, this is very interesting. When do we say that the reed has to be first detached and then reattached? That's in the case of a hardened reed. Hardened reed has more of a status of a tree. But in the case of a soft reed, Rav Nachman wants to suggest that a soft reed actually has the din of yerek, actually has the din of vegetables, and therefore Chazal were not gozer in the case of vegetables. So the Gemara says, Umina temra. So we'll say now what we're doing is we're being mechalik between hardened reeds and softened reeds. Hardened reeds have the status of the tree, softened reeds have the static of yerek, in which case we're not subject to any of the shvusim. So the Gemara says, Umina temra, tishanalein bein uzradin l'shein uzradin. Where do you know that from? That we are mechalik, that we distinguish between hardened reeds and unhard or soft reeds? Decide, listen to this. Hakonin v'ha'atodin v'ha'hegyon. So we'll say, konin are reeds. Atodin and hegyon are types, Rashi points out, are types of thorn bushes. Min ivonheim. They're types of trees. Ve'inon kilayim bekerem. And therefore, Rabosai, there's no problem of kilayim bekerem. Remember, kilayim bekerem means that in a vineyard, you can't plant multiple species. Right? You can't cross plant. So, for example, the Gemara says, you'd be able to plant reeds, or atodin and higi, which are these types of thorn bushes, within a vineyard, because they're considered to be tree-like. And therefore, there's no problem planting them in a vineyard. The Tanya Itok, we have another brisa that says, Hakonin v'hakidin v'aorvanin. Konin are reeds again. Kidin literally means cinnamon bark. And orvanin are types of willows. Min yerekin have the status of vegetables, and therefore v'hein kilayim v'karim. And therefore, you would not be permitted to plant them in the vineyard. So kashya ahadati is a contradiction. I'm also saying now we don't care about cinnamon bark or willows or thorn bushes. What do we care about right now? We care about reeds. In the first brisa, the reeds are considered like what? Like trees. And in the second brisa, what are they considered like? Yerek, like vegetables. So which one is it? Elishmamina kan buuzradin kan b'she'inar uzradin shmamina. So the Gemara says, you know what you see from here? One is talking about a case of hardened reeds, in which case they're treated like trees, and the other is talking about soft reeds, in which case soft reeds have the status of yerek, shmamina. Vikida min yereku. Now, is that true that kida, that this cinnamon bark, has the status of yerek? V'hatnan, ein mar kivin pigam, or pagam, al gabe kida levana, mipnei shu yerek bi'ilan. But yet the Gemara says, that's what, that you can't go ahead and literally graft, pigam is a root plant, Agave kida lavana, because ultimately with kida lavana, why meishu yerek beilon? Because ultimately the pegam is yerek, and the kida lavana is considered to be a tree. So we see that kida is treated like an eitz, not like a vegetable. Amar Papa kida luchud, the kida lavana luchud. Now, Papa says two different things. There's regular kida and white kida. Apparently, white kida is treated like a tree, like an eight, and regular kida is treated like yarek. All right, Papa, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.